This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Two in the books. Still one to go to the big show on an FEF Friday. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel in studio. We're going to be joined by our comedian of the week, Billy D. Washington, this hour. So you want to be stay tuned for that, as well as his final clip, 3:15. That's also good. If you missed anything, Barry gave you the backstory on Billy D., a friend of both of ours, a longtime, if not lifelong, Houstonian.
Yeah, I think he was born here.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
Big-time Houston sports fan.
Big Rockets fan, big Astros fan, Texans fan, loves sports talk radio.
Used to be on sports talk radio.
Used to be on sports talk radio. Used to be on KLOL back in the day.
That far back?
That far back. He had won comedy competitions that far back in this town. Like, when I tell you he was one of the, he's like an OG in Houston comedy, yeah. Like, there were a, even before, I think, the Bill Hickses of the world, and I'd have to go back and check, but, or maybe even around that time, but there was only like five or six headliners out of Houston that worked the road. Billy was one of them.
I used to hear him on the Bad Highway.
He used to be, he was a police officer before he became a comic.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and so he kind of transitioned into comedy from being a police officer, but, he was legit early in Def Comedy Jam. Some of these clips that you heard. In fact, this third clip that you're going to hear at 3:15 is from one of his Def Comedy Jam appearances. I think he had two or three. He was a host on VH1 for years and years. Had his own show on VH1. Toured with Aretha Franklin. Used to open for her. Like, dude is legit.
Yeah.
Doesn't get the kind of love that he probably deserves and has earned as a comedian out of Houston that should get some national recognition. But he has a legitimate resume, one of the best comics to ever come out of the city, period.
I used to hear him on the Horse Crap Highway.
What is the Horse Crap Highway?
610.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I didn't know what that was.
He was a staple over there.
He was. Yeah. He was indeed. Real quick, yes. I wanted to, before we get to that, we were talking shoes with Ashton, and he was asking about Giannis and his. How do we feel about, now you guys know my feelings on Joel Osteen and Lakewood Church. I mean, I have a bit about it in my act. We all know what he did in Harvey. And
right.
You guys know how I feel about him. And one of Lakewood's pastors, John Gray, there are pictures of him on his Instagram wearing $5,000 Yeezys while he's preaching. And he's got on a pair of red Air Yeezy 2s that would sell the lowest asking price is $5,997. So I stand corrected. They're not $5,000. They're $6,000 Yeezys. He's got on a pair of $6,000 Yeezys. There's a picture of him preaching to a crowd, and he's wearing $4,500 Yeezys or $3,000, depending if you're buying or selling.
He's got the money. I guess you can do that.
I was going to ask you before I looked at this. He's also the guy that bought his wife like the Lamborghini or the Ferrari or whatever. And this, it was in the news months ago. It was that, like a couple $100,000.
That
right?
Might be him.
Wait.
There's another picture that shows Hillsong teaching pastor Nathan Finocchio wearing a pair of $1,100 Gucci slippers.
Here you go. Pastor John Gray recently called out for buying his wife a $200,000. Oh yeah,
I do remember that.
That's
I do
the
remember
one that,
that
I remembered. Yeah. But then when I look at these, they look like, I'm sorry.
The Yeezys.
The Yeezys look like knockoff Jordans.
Yeah, they're not. They're not. I wouldn't wear them. I would never.
No,
wear them.
They're terrible.
You could tell me they were worth $6,000 and give them to me, and I would be like, I'll sell you these for $100. I'm not wearing those.
That's the only reason I would only sell those shoes.
I wouldn't wear them.
They're not ugly. Good looking at all.
The white and gray ones are a little better, but the all red ones are just awful. But, like, I just have a real problem. Like, because I'm sitting there thinking, would Jesus wear Yeezys? Would he be?
You mean Yeezus?
No. Would he be wearing $5,000 sneakers? He wore sandals, for goodness sake. He preached the word in sandals. And I don't know. I just have a real problem with that, the Lamborghinis and all that. And then you've got folks down, and I won't say who said this, but there are people in and around Lakewood Church that go there, for example, that see there are cars in the parking lot that won't start. That's how little money these people have, but they're there at the church giving their money to the church, but they can't get their own car to start because it's so old and so broken down. And instead of using that money to feed the homeless, we got pastors buying $5,000 sneakers. How many sandwiches could you make for those $5,000 sneakers and feed the homeless? I mean, that's just – that's the kind of hypocrisy that drives me insane when it comes to some of these, quote, men of God. It just – and also the person said that they're trying to build something next to Lakewood, and they're just having an awful time with Joel Osteen and everybody because they're the cranes and everything are making it – oh, yeah, so you're the only one that can show progress there in that area. Like, I mean,
I'm curious what his salary is.
Well, I mean, if you ever ask Joe Osteen or you've seen an interview, he'll tell you he only takes a dollar from his church every year.
But I guarantee you that world tour he goes on every year and the stadium tour and all that, he's pocketing all that.
All of his money comes from book sales is what I've seen or read or whatever. But, man, $5,000 sneakers and, boy, that's a lot of sandwiches to feed the homeless. But I would love one day if he just put his sneaker in the plate.
I'm just wondering. That's what I was going to say. I'm wondering.
Raise the offering.
I'm not
going to
hate a man that's making a living and doing well, as long as if he's doing what he's doing, I hope he's giving back.
Listen, this is a text. I'm just going to read this verbatim. That same dude wanted the people from the church to pay $100,000 for a new roof.
Yeah.
He asked for the roof.
Yeah, he asked for money. That's why he became
greedy, man.
Yeah, like he wants all these fancy things in life, but he's also asking for money to, you know, for his personal expenses, he's asking money to finance.
Wait,
a roof for the church or a roof for his house?
No, his house, I think.
Oh, my God, that's awful.
I really don't understand how people get so gullible into giving these snake oil salesmen money. I really don't understand it. And then you can send all your hate texts and tweets to me, because believe me, with the bit I have out there on the internet, there are plenty of people that don't like me because I don't like Joel Osteen. But that dude is a snake oil salesman. I mean, let's not forget that this is the same dude who's married to a woman on a plane that was asked to move that said, "Do you know who I am?" That's not very godly. Like these people, they're con artists, and they're out here getting money in the name of God and in the name of doing the right thing. And I'm not suggesting that they don't do good things. I'm not suggesting that. What I'm suggesting is that they're not always above board.
I think their justification is probably going to be like, "Well, I've given back so much money. Yeah, I can request this as well."
Oh, well,
I would imagine that might be one of the first justifications.
Show me I want proof of that.
Show me in the Bible where once Jesus raised enough money, he was like, "Well, the rest is for me." Show me that. Where's that part where Jesus just stopped being a Christian because he felt like he had done enough? It's just it's hypocrisy at its finest. I mean, there are Creflo Dollar, and don't even get me started on the Benny Hinn's. At least we know they're frauds. They don't try to pretend like they're not frauds. Benny Hinn slapping people with his coat. Have you ever seen that?
Yeah, I've seen it. Yeah.
Funniest thing I've ever seen in my life. And then I'm looking at how many people in the crowd. I'm like, that is a stadium full of dumbasses.
Went over there, they paid, and then they got slapped.
And then you got slapped with a coat, and now you've healed polio. I don't know if you know this, but there are shots that can do that. But a sport coat ain't healing polio, bro. It's not going to happen. He ain't that close to Jesus. His name is Benny. No dude named Benny has ever been close to Jesus, first of all. I just don't understand how people fall for this. I really don't.
I had friends that did work over at Lakewood.
Yeah.
And they got into conversations with people over there. And the weekly and monthly, what do they call it? Not just the pass the plate donations, but when they take it off right off your paycheck and it goes right to them.
Oh, my God.
The stipends or whatever they call it. But they were talking about the fact that weekly that church is bringing in tens of millions of dollars.
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. I think the capacity there is 16,000. If every person donates a dollar each time he has a service,
mm-hmm.
That's 16 grand just in that one day. Now, he's saying
that's just one service.
One service.
They have multiple services throughout the week.
Exactly.
Multiple.
And to my knowledge, a lot of people are donating a lot more than a dollar.
No, a lot of people have it set up where you fill out a form. You know how you do a voided check and all that stuff? Right out of their checking account, right on the 1st and the 15th, they're donating a certain percentage of their salary to the church.
Let me tell you, two people I don't trust. AT&T and Joel Osteen, neither one of them are getting auto pay from me. I don't think so.
I'm not big on the whole auto pay thing anyway.
Not to the phone company and not to Jesus. It ain't happening. You're not getting auto pay out of me. I don't care who you are. I am baffled. And listen, I have friends who are preachers, who are have their own church in this city. And so I am not sitting here and suggesting that all preachers, all ministers, all men of God, all women of God are frauds, because I know them personally, and I can tell you there are really good men in the church, really good women in the church. But these cats, $5,000 Yeezys and wanting you to pay $100,000 to fix the roof on the church, that's a fraud. That is an absolute fraud. Somebody said the History Channel is doing a whole miniseries on Jesus that's narrated by Joel Osteen, and it feels like we're being lectured about feminism by Robert Kraft. Amen.
Well, hey, I want to tell you about my good friends. Speaking of friends, I've got good friends at Infuse Energy, and I want to tell you about them because I switched to Infuse Energy about 2 years ago, and I'm telling you, I don't regret it for a second, because the fact of the matter is they went above and beyond to make sure that they figured out the best rate and the best deal for me, and they saved me thousands over my previous energy company over the same period of time. They have just been absolutely fantastic, and you can get caught up with those same kind of savings too. All you got to do is pick up the phone and call 844-INFUSE-2, 844-463-8732, or you can log on to infuseenergy.com. But I encourage you to call, because if you call that number, you're going to get a human being. You're not going to get an automated system that just frustrates you with buttons to push and screaming prompts to try and get the automated system to go the way you want it to go. There's going to be a human being that's going to ask you as many questions as you ask them, because they want to know when you use energy the most, when you use it the least. Is it for your family? Is it for your business? So they can tailor make the best possible program and rate for you that there is. And you mentioned ESPN 97.5 right off the top, a $25 bill credit, and we roll from there. They're going to make sure they take care of you, and they're going to be honest and upfront along the way. That means there might be competition that can beat their rates. It's rare, but when it happens, they tell you. They're going to be honest, because they know that even if you don't go with them this time, there'll be another time, and you'll remember that they were upfront with you, and maybe it'll make sure that you do business with them then, because you know that you can trust them. They're 100% honest all the time, and I'm telling you, it's affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that always has your back. Infuse energy into your life.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
And women are very confident with their sexuality. You're very confident with who you are and your sexuality, man. Because, like, women can compliment each other anatomically like it's no big deal, right? Like, one woman can walk up to another woman and go, you know, Gladys, those sure are nice breasts you got there. So soft. But yet so firm. Could you imagine two brothers doing that? You can imagine two brothers doing that, man. Could you imagine two in a bathroom, man? Going, damn, Larry. Your nuts nicer than a mother.
Billy D. Washington.
My guy.
He is hilarious.
Funny. Nick was like, man, I thought the third, because he hadn't heard the second clip. I told him, you just run this. He was like, third clip is my favorite clip. Then he heard the second clip, if I was white. And he was like, now that's my favorite. I'm telling you, my absolute favorite joke, one of my all-time favorite jokes, is that first one we opened with about his great-great-grandfather being a runaway slave. If you missed any of the jokes, go back and hit podcastarena.com. It's worth a listen. Follow my man on Twitter, at Billy Washington. Go see him when he has a show. He was just in the Heights this past Wednesday. Keep up with him, because he's something special that we have here in Houston. And yep, if you can catch him locally, you need to go do
it. Goodbye, I was white.
So good.
So better good to catch him in the Heights than on one of the nude cruises that he does.
Yeah, he did do a nude cruise. Yeah. And he texted me, too. He's on his way. He's stuck in traffic. But he goes, he's very active in the church. So he heard us. So he was like, let's talk churches when I get there.
I was going to ask him if he wanted to get in on this John Gray thing.
And then that master story on his Facebook page.
Yeah, that's the one I said I got
to
hear.
We got plenty to talk about once Billy D gets here. He just needs to hurry up and get his ass out of traffic. Yeah, how do you not know, Billy? I know you can hear me right now. That's why I'm just going to say it, because he can't say nothing back. You live in Houston. You know what traffic's like. That's a shame.
Yeah, I'm not going to say it. I'll give him hell for it off the air, but I'm going to say it on the air.
Yeah.
But, you know, we always like to get back to the suspects, take care of the peeps that like to take care of us and help make us, let's just say, fairly successful in our time slot.
You can say third highest rated show in the city. That's okay.
I was just going number one in our time slot.
Oh, my bad.
Doubling up the competition
combined. Oh, my bad.
That's all I was doing.
The B team, Barry and Blank.
There you go. Well, Nick. And Nick, well,
I'm the what?
Bitch.
Yeah, I was going to say. Oh, you set yourself up. I was like, don't do it. I knew it. I knew
it was going to be something vulgar. I just wasn't sure.
You had to get in on it. Up already. It was just
Barry and Blank, and then here comes Nick. What about me? All right, bitch. Yeah. It's the B team. The three Bs. Barry, Blank, and bitch.
We are the killer bees. Look out. Forget the B team. All right, so we'd like to give back to you guys. ESPN 97.5 and Live Nation want to send you to see the Who's Live Anyway, the cast members of the Emmy-nominated TV show Whose Line Is It Anyway, presenting their improv tour Who's Live Anyway on May 2nd at Revention Music Center. The 90-minute show is filled with improvised comedy and songs based on audience suggestions. Caller 12 right now wins a pair of tickets to see the show. Caller 12, and make sure to head to livenation.com for more ticket information if you don't win them. But caller 12 gets a pair right now. Good luck.
Good luck. Hey, Luke Walton out after two seasons with the Lakers. Tyronn Lue, the front runner, as according to ESPN.
New general manager, you know, Rob Pelinka is still a general manager. New president of basketball operations, LeBron James, will make that announcement.
Yep.
Because he's going to get his old coach back. And, oh, by the way, look for Luke Walton to be the coach of the Kings within a week.
There you go.
That's what I think.
Okay.
That's what I've said.
That's your prediction. We'll
see. And you know what's weird? I was thinking about this. He'll have made the tour of every California city. He was an assistant with Golden State.
Luke, yeah.
And he was the interim head coach. And then he went to the Lakers. Now I think he'll probably end up going to the Kings. Is there anybody he's got left? Oh, the Clippers.
Oh, yeah.
He could still end up going back to the Clippers sometime.
Yeah, that's possible.
But good gig to get. Look, he's a good coach. It's just an unfortunate set of circumstances. You give that guy a young team and he doesn't have the pressure of trying to please LeBron. I think because look what he did.
That was
with
a no-win situation for him.
Absolutely.
Because we all know that wherever LeBron goes, he wants his guy.
Yeah. And he was developing the young talent that they had before LeBron got there. But now, you know, it's a totally different ballgame and LeBron wants, you know, he needs his people around him. But look what he did at Golden State when Kerr was out so long. I mean, he was the all-star coach. He had them in a great position. He did a lot of great things. I think he's a really good coach. And the other thing I was going to say, UCLA, if they just would have been more patient, UCLA could have had a big name to coach the Bruins as well.
Yep.
So let's see where Luke lands, but I think that my guess would be Sacramento. You want to get this Canadian
let's
Curtis
do
call?
It. Canadian Curtis.
Curtis wants to talk Eastern Conference NBA playoffs as well. Curtis, what's up?
Hello, Curtis.
Curtis.
What the hell's going on?
Curtis there?
All right, well.
Well, and by the way,
we'll
correction.
Technical difficulties.
I said that Damon Jones said Orlando's going to be the upset winner in the first round. It wasn't against Philly. He's got Orlando beating the Raptors.
What?
I just don't see it, man. I just don't.
That guy really loves him some Orlando.
Yeah, he goes out on a limb and makes a, you know, he was talking.
That's like saying that the Warriors aren't going to be in the finals. What a dumbass.
I'm not going there.
I don't know anybody like that. I still stand by it. It could happen. They got to face both the Rockets in the four spot, and then they'll probably have to face the Thunder.
They better not have a B team. I'm telling you that. You better do some work there.
That's right. So. I noticed that you had a story about these Father's Day hats. Can we just chat about those for
a
minute?
Yes, we can.
Those are the worst looking hats I've ever
seen.
Thank
you. Jose in the hallway says, I kind of like them.
What?
I was like, look, there's a lot of hats. Like, I always like the 4th of July hat because I like the Strohs.
I heard those are worse.
the Astros won it. You can't really mess it up that much. Red visor, blue top, and then the star has the star and the H have the American flag in it. I like that.
Okay.
But, and obviously Mother's Day, you're always going to get the pink accents. But the Father's Day, the entire top of the entire cap itself is like the sky with clouds.
Yeah, it looks like acid wash jeans.
Yeah,
it looks like a bad blue jean jacket. It really does. They're pretty bad.
I just don't like it at all. And then the military ones are cool. The camo yep, looking ones.
Those. Yep.
Those are cool. I like all the other hats, but the Father's Day hat to me was just ugh.
Pretty ugly.
Brutal.
Yeah. Not digging that at all.
So I'll retweet those if you didn't see them yet, but they give you all the different choices that you can see all the different hats, and it's just awful.
Also, speaking of awful. Mm-hmm. Now, my wife and I have never had a baby by choice. Mm-hmm. Apparently a clogged milk duct is an issue sometimes. And Christine Cavallari said, Christine, don't care. I don't know this
she
lady.
She was a TV star, right?
What? Yeah. On what was it? Melrose.
She's Cutler's wife.
Yeah. Yeah, she was on something that had to do with Laguna Beach. I don't know what
that was. I think that was the name of the show.
Yeah.
Was it Laguna Beach?
Something like that.
I think
so. Nailed it. Pop culture genius. Apparently her milk duct got clogged in her breasts. And she credited Jay Cutler with unclogging it, quote, for sucking harder than he's ever sucked. That was what she said about him. Here's the thing. I know some dudes, like when you have a kid, I don't know if you were like this. Did you want to taste? Some dudes like want to taste breast milk.
Never.
I don't understand the fascination with that.
Yeah.
Look, it's kind of like a snake bite. If my wife had a snake bite, I would suck out the poison. If she's got a clogged milk duct, as a good husband and father, I'll go
I'm
to
assuming
work.
The milk duct is with that word that you had that starts with a T and rhymes with...
Yes. No, she's got a milk duct in her elbow. Yeah. She's milking her kid from the elbow. Yeah, of course it's in her breast.
Hey, man. What? Ease up. I'm just asking a question.
Well, where else would she...
Just
where else would you get
for the listeners.
I'm just curious. Where else do you think that milk would come from on a woman?
I don't know. Maybe she's got a milk duct in her mouth.
What?
I don't know. I'm just getting clarity for the peeps.
Yeah, obviously it's...
Nick, how did you know, by the way, she was on Laguna Beach and the hills? But it was Laguna Beach.
I really wasn't the one who said Laguna Beach.
Yeah,
it was Barry who said it.
I nailed that.
Well, you were the one to verify it quickly.
Well, when he said Laguna Beach, I've watched that show. Full disclosure.
Really?
Absolutely. Years ago, but I watched that show.
I can tell you this.
They were all hot, dude. It was none but hot chicks on that show.
And I can appreciate that. But I can tell you that this, what is it, Barry Cavallari or whatever, the reality.
So is it
Kristen Cavallari?
Kristen Cavallari, yeah.
What did I say, Christine?
Yeah.
Whatever.
All I know is... I never saw the show, but every clip I've ever seen, I would watch it because Cutler's so stupid that the things that he says are like all world funny.
She's pretty hot, too. That's another reason to watch it.
But like he picks on her friends, and
really?
I remember on the show we've had a couple of her clips.
He's a bro.
He's
like a-hole funny.
He just doesn't hold back, yeah.
Well, the article says, Cavallari tells her dinner companions that she had, quote, major clogged ducts. Jay had to get them out for me, sucking harder than he's ever sucked. I mean, I don't know. Maybe you haven't seen his last couple of years on the field, but
I'm sure he sucked him with the same vigor as he did all those cigarettes when he was on the sideline.
That's true.
He's a smoker.
Old school. Does he still smoke?
I believe so.
No, I thought she got him to quit.
Maybe I don't watch the show, but I know that while he was still playing, he was still smoking.
Wow, that's not good. I know something that is good though. Getting cash back. That's good. And I have an app for you to be able to do that. It's called Get Upside, completely free app to download from the iTunes or Google Play Store. Download the app, put it on your phone, put in promo code Barry, B-A-R-R-Y. Now that we got that out of the way, here's what Get Upside does for you. It gets you cash back on stuff you're already buying, already paying for gas, right? You got to fill up on the way home. Why not download the Get Upside app before you leave work? Find a gas station in your area that's offering cash back and go there. And if you put in promo code Barry, B-A-R-R-Y, you're going to get extra savings on your first fill-up. Now, we're talking about up to 25 cents a gallon already at over 500 gas stations around the city. As far as food goes, I feel you're crazy if you're not using this to eat out during the week. If you could get up to 35% cash back, and we had a listener 2 days ago let us know that there was a Wendy's by him that was getting 35% cash back when you went and ate there. That's just unheard of. That's crazy. And that's only through the Get Upside app. So they've got hundreds of restaurants around the city that you can do this at. And look, this is legitimate. Not only have listeners sent me screenshots of their accounts where they've got $200, $90, and Clarence said, dude, I got $5 back my first two times eating out. Not only do we have that, but ABC 13 ran a special on the app itself. That's how good this is. That's how much this works. I implore you guys, download this app and start using it and start saving some money and getting cash back. But it's important also put in promo code Barry because don't leave money at the pump. My wife got 30 cents a gallon cash back when she used Get Upside. Super easy to use, super easy to download. It's called Get Upside. Put in promo code Barry. Get that cash back and thank me later. And don't go anywhere. We're back in 60 seconds with Billy D. Washington right here on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 975.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Final half hour of the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Yeah.
Promises made, promises kept.
We're like, back in 60, just like I said we would be.
What else?
What?
Well,
he did text and say 3 minutes ago that he would be here in 6 minutes. So
he's on the clock. 3:35, you better be rolling through that
That's
door.
That's right. Better hurry.
Because the Lord said, rise up.
All right.
You know, so Billy D hopefully will be in the house quickly so we can chop it up with him between now and the end of the show.
I do want to ask him about that Augusta.
I did too. The minute I read it last night, I was like, oh, boom. Oh, I got to ask him about that.
Yep, for sure.
And by the way, the Blitz on location at Sam Houston Race Park today.
Mm.
So Fred and AJ will be on location with Tyler, and Aaron will be back here holding down the fort. If you're in and around the raceway, the race
Very
park,
good.
The race park, Sam Houston.
I just saw this in passing on the internet. I kind of found it fascinating. Do you think you know all the words to happy birthday?
I mean, if there's a hidden verse that I don't know about, kind of like your McDonald's hidden menu, if there was a verse that ate happy birthday I'm not aware of, I'm a little worried.
I think it baffles me, just like when I was bitching about the fact that there's a recipe for scrambled eggs on the internet. Mm-hmm. You know how they have websites dedicated to song lyrics? Mm-hmm. They actually have the lyrics to happy birthday. And I was like, do we really need the lyrics to happy birthday? Come to find out, there's a second and third verse to happy birthday that we don't sing. So we all know the first verse, happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you, happy birthday to whatever, happy birthday to you. Second verse says, from good friends and true, from old friends and new, may good luck go with you and happiness too. That's what?
Never in a million years.
And then the third verse is, how old are you now? How old are you now? How old are you now? I'm going to admit that the writer is not the most creative when it comes to happy birthday. But yeah, that's there's a second and third verse. Billy comes in strutting like, yeah. Yeah, second and third verse to happy birthday. He's a songster. We need to ask Billy if he knows
my friend is hugging me. My friend is here.
Billy D, what's up, man?
How's it going?
Okay, great. Good to see you, man.
Good.
Yeah. Do what? He showed up late without water burger, Esme says. Yeah, I don't know what's up with that. I should have texted him and told him that's the rule, but I didn't even know if he'd make it by four, so.
Yeah, bro, I'm here. Yeah, man. Made it. Yes, sir.
You're on, too, so you're good.
Yeah.
Okay, am I interrupting something?
Oh, yeah, we're just live.
I don't want to,
you know.
You're fine.
Dude, this place is haunted.
You got to coordinate. You got the whole thing going.
Why is this place haunted?
It looks haunted. Like downstairs and stuff looks a little haunted.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
it is a little creepy. It is a little creepy.
Like American Horror Story Gal Media.
It's a little bit. It's a little creepy, that's for sure. We were just talking.
Join the club. It's like we're starting a yard sale. Everything's falling off all over the place. You got the hanky, the washcloth going?
No, man, I had a sinus surgery after, you know.
Oh, really?
It's a long story, bro. It's
get into all that.
Yeah, for real, man, because it's not pretty. What's up, fellas?
Well,
what's
at least you made it. Hey,
good to see you, man.
That's good.
Where have I been? In traffic?
Lane closure?
Yeah, man, huh?
Lane closure?
Couple lane closed, couple you lane, don't, way.
You don't use your phone to look at traffic?
I do, man, but they're in with them, man. They're in with the construction people. They want you to be late so you can waste gas, and it that's why gas prices are so low, man, because of traffic and stuff. So
that's your theory. That's where we're going to go with that.
And plus, they knew I was trying to come, but I was just, me being black, they're going to hold me
that's
up because
conspiracy.
They wanted me to be. But if I was white, it would have been completely different.
That's right.
They would have, they would have opened
it. I was white.
There it is. That's my jam right there. That song's got me into so much trouble.
I didn't know. How often do you incorporate? Is the piano part of your deal now?
Yes. No. Well, actually, it's the black organ.
Ah,
but it doubles as a piano. Yes. It's been in from the beginning. Like when I first started doing comedy, I would like be the middle dude, opener dude, or the middle dude. And then when I wanted to make more money, I had to make the set longer. So then I would add 15 minutes of piano to it because that's how I kind of started. Like I was playing piano did parodies in college, and I just added that to the end of the act and. Kind of what I'm almost known for.
It helps that you can sing. It helps that you can play. But you were a musician, and you've done that your whole life, right?
Yeah, man. Well, I can't really sing. I can only sing the stuff that I can play. It's like that. I can't really sing. Somebody, hey, come up and sing a song. If I'm not playing it, then I can't do it.
Uh-huh.
Unless I've been drinking and take the cheers thing after that.
I
worked it in, right?
Yeah, very well done.
I haven't forgotten. I have not forgotten.
Professional.
Golf clap for you. Speaking of that, you posted something on Facebook because we're friends.
Yeah.
I want to know the validity of the story.
Yeah.
And like the rest of the story. I want the Paul Harvey because that you had me and I was like, oh, you got
to
finish.
Tell the people the story of what happened to you at Augusta.
Well, I mean, the whole thing is true. Like several years ago, I had this one man show called Humor, HUEMOR, Hugh Moore, like more color. So I talked about race and stuff. And so I did a show along the Lower Eastern Seaboard. Well, one of the gigs was at Augusta. And I didn't really understand the tradition of it. You know how we are, Barry.
So at the court.
Bro, a gig is a gig, man.
We're simple people.
Yeah. We are simple people.
Am I going to get paid at the end?
That's it.
I'll do it.
Where's the mic? I don't care.
Yeah.
So the dude that was with me, a guy by the name of Stephen Barefoot, really nice guy. I mean, really artsy guy. He was telling me that maybe I should wear a jacket. I was like, you know what? This dude don't know what he's talking about. I'm up here to do the gig. I've been working out. I'm going to show off these guns. I had a brand new tattoo. So I'm going to go up here and do my thing. So then when I get there, it's like this really sort of stush place, like really stuffy.
Mm-hmm.
I get to the security thing. Literally, the dude thought that I was, he's like, yeah, the caddy area is over there. I'm not even trying to force a racial joke here. I am not. That is exactly what happened. He was a black dude. I'm like, bro, like, thrill.
Come on, man.
Like, seriously, man, you should be. So I went there, got to the clubhouse. When I got in, like, he looked at me and was like, oh, so you're going to wear the black fitted T-shirt and, some skinny black jeans to Augusta. And I was like, yeah, it's just a gig. And I looked out and I saw the audience and they were like all these old white dudes, bro, with jackets on and like gray hair. And it smelled like dandruff in there. You ever get that? You're going to wear it. It's so old until it smells like dandruff and Alzheimer's. And so I was like, man, I felt so, and their wives looked like,
Oh, they were allowed?
They were.
Okay.
They looked like the stepford. All of them looked the same. They all had their hair up in buns and stuff, and they looked very nervous, like they wanted something to happen. I don't know what they thought was going to happen. There's this one dude there. He was a black dude. I don't know if he was the president of the association, but it was since, they lifted all the racial stuff there. But apparently, this dude was looking at me. First of all, he looked at me in a very condescending fashion. Mm-hmm. But when I got on stage, he looked at me. He was terrified because I could tell. I know that look when black people don't want me to like point them out in front of a bunch of other white people. Like, bro, for real, man, don't do this to me. Like, you see, I'm barely hanging on here. Don't do no chicken commercials. Come on, man. I mean, don't do no
chicken jokes.
Yeah, don't do no chicken jokes. Yeah, man, come on, man.
Black people versus white people.
I don't know nobody on crack. Seriously, man. So before the show, I had to use the restroom. I had to urinate.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't want to walk through these dudes. I didn't want anything to do with them before the show started. Because at this point, I'm nervous.
Sure.
I didn't want anything to do with them before the show started. So I looked outside and I saw, all the greens, like these historic. I'm like, hey, man, I'm going to go out here and, go ahead and do my thing out here. So I get out there. True story. Get out there, unzip my pants, whip it out. And just before I get started, these lights just come on. And I'm out there with, you know.
Like motion sensor lights?
Motion sensor lights come on. I'm out there, man, with D in hand.
Just first of
looking
all.
Around. Whoa, what is going on here?
You had the driver.
Yeah, and I couldn't cut off the stream either, so I just kind of looked around and kept it moving, man.
Just peeing in Augusta.
Yeah, that's what I did.
Listen, I guess the stereotype is true. Black guys have, if your penis made the motion sensor go off, good for you, bro. Telling you, it wouldn't even flinched.
I would have peed in the dark, right?
I would have peed in the dark. I got to go up and use the manual flush on the toilet for the motion sensor, man. Like, yeah, no, well, good
you know,
for you.
I never really thought of it like that, but since you mentioned it.
You know what I mean? You pull out your penis and the motion light goes up?
I think I'm going to start using that for a credit, actually. The next time I come on, hey, he's the guy that made the motion sensor go off.
Peter Augusta.
But for real, so I did it. Wash my hands, in case you're wondering.
Barry was, because sanitary is number one.
Of course. Went back. Did the show. Had a decent set.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was one of those ones where, let me give you a proper analogy, Joel. Like, you know, when the game is a blowout. Mm-hmm. And you're just trying to kind of make small talk to kind of get to the end of it. Mm-hmm. And there's some great moments in there, but you know pretty much the game is over. Like, the game was over, like, when I got up there, because I think they expected some kind of black, shaky green type, you know.
Right.
Who can bet and ding there? I think I have a hat and a cane and whatever it's going to be doing. I had a Muppet or something with me. But no, it wasn't that, because you know what I do. And some of the stuff I said mm-hmm. was shocking. But it was a show about race, so they booked me. And then the guy afterwards admitted to the guy that brought me in that it was probably the wrong booking. But it was
for the wrong place.
Yeah, but because, you know, but that happens. And it was because of, and it wasn't my fault. It was the wrong place because they were the wrong people in the wrong time period, you know.
We were just talking about it. They just started allowing black people at the club in 1990.
Right.
They just started allowing women in 2012.
Yeah.
That's awful.
And what did they do for women? Condoleezza Rice was their first member. Yeah. So that was, like, you know, just trying for attention. But I said, could you imagine if Tiger was rolling in 89?
Right. Nothing.
Can't even play.
Come on, man.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And people thought it was a big deal here at Lochinvar when Tiger was working out with Butch Harmon. And the lady reporter from CNN tried to get in to do the story, and they went, no women allowed here.
Wow.
And then they look at the Masters at Augusta, and no one was allowed in there.
Yeah, because if Tiger would have done it, he probably would have had to pay come in through the bag nine first, right?
Probably.
Yeah, the bag nine. Did you get that one? That's a no? Are we going to a break right now?
We're going to go to a break.
Yeah, I got to go pee outside, if you don't mind.
Yeah, tell you what, just make sure you wash your hands.
I do have to pee.
We got 1 second to go.
Thanks, man.
All right, Billy D will be back with us to wrap things up. 1 second to go on the big show. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. All mixed up, you don't know what to do. Next thing you turn around, but a person is you. Thought a thing might be the thing, but they push to be the last. So just get off of your ass.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back for the final segment of The Usual Suspects. It is Barry, Nick, and Joel on an F Yeah Friday. F for funny, our comedian of the week, our friend. See what I did there with the F?
Yeah.
Billy D. Washington in studio as he's going to take you and me and everybody else up until 4 o'clock when we turn it over to the Blitz. Happy you're here.
Hey, well, you guys sound great, by the way, man. I'm a big fan of the show.
Just we appreciate that.
Thanks. Even though I know you listen to 610. Well, you don't listen to 790 anymore? Is that where Josh was?
I listen to everybody.
Don't give me that.
I go back and
don't
forth, give me that. Man. You know, I won't apologize for my friendship with some of the people there, Barry, but you know what? You and I, well, the three of us.
Calling people out on this show. If you want to, you know, shoot a shot at me, we're fine with that.
Every time I get a text from Billy, did you hear about this? I'm like, why are you listening to those other stations, Billy? There's one true sports station in town, and it's on the FM dial. I'm listening to that old-ass man radio.
Yeah, man. Well, you know, I was that old man radio for a little while. It's weird.
I said you were on the bad highway of Houston.
Bro, I've been in this seat many, many times. times. I mean, when Carl Dukes first came over here, he tried to hire me to be on a show with him.
Really?
Is that right? Yeah. So I've been here.
I was telling the story about how you were one of the original headliners out of Houston to hit the road.
Right.
And don't get the respect or honor that you should get for that, but how you won contests with KLOL, that's how far back you go. And I know that's not a great story.
No, that's not.
But I was trying to set the scene about how long you've been doing
radio.
Let's
not disparage the dead. Or should we?
Just how long?
Yeah. Hey, dude, what do you think, Nick? I think we should. Okay.
We shoot so many shots on here.
Man, it don't matter.
Yes, you know what?
Talk your
best. Man. No, you know, we'll do that on the next one.
This is the B team.
This is kind of a long story. We got some sports stuff to get into, right?
Okay, yeah.
Well, and some church stuff real quick.
Yeah,
right?
which one do you want to go first?
So, okay, I'm listening up. Okay, I'm listening to you guys, and you guys are talking about, like, the dudes at the church and the money and the stuff. But first of all, you know, like, I go to church a lot, man. My father was a pastor for 20 years, never took any money. So I'm telling you from the inside out. A lot of stuff you guys don't know, man. Like, a lot of time when churches give money to people, they can't really talk about it, because if they know that they're giving money to people, then everybody would come and want money.
Okay.
So you don't know. There are mortgages. There are all this other stuff. But here's the deal. If you give into charity, let's say you're giving money to a homeless person, you give $10 to a homeless person, would you follow that homeless person and be like, oh my God, this dude has a bike? I can't believe I gave $10 to this dude and he has a bike and some bananas. I can't believe it. No, you don't do it. You don't do it for what he's going to do with the money. You do it because of the way it makes you feel. Mm-hmm. So I don't think that anybody tithes, or I don't think anybody gives offerings just because of some eternal thing that they're going to get. I think they give it because they make it feel. That's why we do it. We do it because it makes us feel good. And the times that we don't tithe or give our offerings, it's to other people. But the thing about church now is that, you guys ever see the TV ministries and people fall asleep in church?
Uh-huh.
There is an inordinate amount of people. At my church, there's a preacher by the name of Billy Jones. This dude falls asleep so much in church until if he was a disciple, his name would be Narcoleptus. I'm serious, man. That dude is asleep. And I'm just here saying I'm a believer in, like, everything. You know, that the Bible says, or whatever. I'm not tripping. Me and you've had these conversations a bunch of time, Barry. But what I will say is that I believe in a higher power, and I believe that the people who have been, quote unquote, delivered from something, they understand what it
is. Do you believe in a, quote, man of God wearing $5,000 Yeezys? Do you believe in that? Do you believe in that?
Buying the wife a Lambo.
Okay, hold on a second. But do we know how they came? Do you think that they paid the actual price for them, or if somebody bought them for them, or what?
Do I think he paid the actual price for the Lamborghini?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I think he did.
Well, you know, I mean, I don't really, you
the
know,
news, I
don't,
do says, I think he paid $1,100 for the Gucci slippers? Yeah, I think he did.
But why does that matter? That's like the homeless dude with the bananas. It's like, you know, why does he?
Because if
he,
you're going
he
to
could have had peanuts. Why does he need bananas?
If you're going, why does he need $1,100 slippers?
I think
do you know how many sandwiches that would buy you $100 pair of slippers, and the $1,000 you can give to the poor. You can give to the
needy. On the opposite side of that, do you know how much he has already given to the poor?
Doesn't matter.
It does matter.
What does it?
Because you can't. You can't equivocate the two if you don't know what's happening on the other side.
If he's given
that amount of money, or if he's blessed, let's say millions of people in I don't know how many different ways, whether it be because of the word or because of some sort of monetary gift, we don't know what he's done on the other side.
True.
Of that.
Do you think Jesus had a limit though, where he was like, "Well, I've blessed enough people, I got to get out of these sandals and get me some Gucci sandals"?
No, he didn't. Well, there's no way we can know, because Gucci is not quite that old. So we do not know.
Well, whatever. Tevas or Crocs or whatever Jesus wore. I don't know what Jesus wore.
The biggest thing is that the whole situation lends itself to him owing, from the parishioner's standpoint and from the outsider looking in, they think they're owed an explanation because of the fact that the first thing, that inclination that pops into people's minds is, hey, are you using church money? How much are you making to go out and buy a $200,000 car or a $5,000 tennis shoe?
But I don't know that that's the first inclination for everybody, because everybody doesn't see it like that.
But I'm saying it made the news, and everybody, everybody, inquiring minds want to know, but everybody right away wants answers.
Right.
You said your father was a preacher.
Right, 20 years. He was a pastor. He had a heart attack. I made him quit. Never took a dollar.
Most expensive shoes he ever bought.
Oh, yeah. He bought floor shims, and we paid for him and stuff. I get that point.
That's my point. There are plenty of good men of God that don't take advantage of the money that is donated and what's become just a big business over at Lakewood.
Right.
Lakewood has gotten too big to be in touch with the people that it's supposed to be helping. I am not suggesting that they don't do things in the community. There was somebody that I was talking to that benefited from them. In fact, during Harvey, I was told that Lakewood reached out to some Jewish synagogues that were flooded and let them and helped them. So I'm not suggesting they don't do good things.
Yeah.
The problem is when you're supposed to be helping people. And like Joel said, if I'm donating money and I see you rolling around in a $100,000 car, I'm like, why do you need my money? You can afford a $100,000 car.
You see, I don't look at it like that. And yeah. Then when you say benefit, it depends on how you define benefit. Like benefit could be monetary. Benefit can be feeding the hungry. But benefit could also be like just saying something to inspire somebody, to be around people who you want to be around, to dress up, to go somewhere, to look good, to look nice, to meet other people who are of equal mind and listen to the word, to listen to a song that may inspire people. So benefiting people has a lot of faces. It's not just about money. It's about other stuff.
We also don't know. He might be doing private speaking engagements or other things. So he might have other income. I'm just saying the inclination is there to ask the question, you know, where's the money coming from to get these lavish luxury items?
It's like critiquing James Harden, if you don't mind me saying. It's like when people look at it, they say, well, he plays no defense. Well, you aren't really watching what he does if you say he doesn't play defense. Well, he's not a defensive stalwart, but he's still a serviceable defensive player. But man, what about the other outstanding stuff that he does that nobody says anything about? But it's just like comedy. It's like, man, people always want to talk about that sucky joke that you did.
Yeah.
But nobody else talks about the other 52 minutes you did that was solid.
Yeah, right.
So that's why I think sometimes it gets a little bit unfair, but you know, each to his own.
And we talked about it. We spent a good portion of it with the MVP and the other discussions going, if you're going to, you know, commend Russell Westbrook for averaging a triple-double,
right,
look at the numbers and the guys that he's in the company with of what Harden has done this year, and don't tell me he doesn't deserve it. Whether he gets it or not, could be a popularity contest, could be a lot of things, but he deserves it because of all the things that he's done.
I think he deserves it, too, because the MVP, in my opinion, should be connected to the best narrative. That's why I wasn't so upset a few years ago when Russell won it, is because I thought that full season of triple-double, or that average, was the best narrative. Like James, I thought, had a better season, but I thought that was the best narrative. This season, the Harden narrative is better than the Giannis narrative. Because here's the deal. You have to ask yourself this. If somebody said to you blindly, and they said to you, they said, okay, I'm going to show you two highlights. You have the choice to watch either the James Harden highlight or the Giannis highlight. Which one would you watch?
I'd probably watch the Harden.
Harden, because you're going to see more stuff. There's a lot of versatility. It might be the step back. It might be the way he crosses somebody up. Mm-hmm. It may be the layup. It could be whatever. But with Giannis, okay, yeah, he's a man among boys. He comes in. He dunks on people. That's great, but I don't think that story in itself is as great as what James is doing this year.
As a Rockets fan, who scares you in the playoffs the most? Besides Golden State.
What, Joe Engel, because I think he's a great three-point shooter and a meth head, and those meth heads. You ever look at that dude? That dude and like Quinn Snyder. And Snyder is his dealer. I'm telling you, man. Those dudes.
A drug dealer. Then what's Grayson Allen?
Yeah, come on, man. Nobody can shoot.
He's the bully. He's out there collecting.
He's out there sweating. You ever see Joe Engel? All he does is shoot threes. He's sweating more than anybody on the court. I bet he smells like chemicals if you get too close to him. But nobody really. I'm glad that we got the fourth seed, because that means that we get Golden State when we are fresh. Man, I don't want CP3's hamstrings going through two whole series before they face the Warriors. Now, I'm not counting my chickens before they hatch, but what I'm saying is that, you know, Dante Exum is not going to be out there, and he's Harden's best defender. But I would much rather Utah than Oklahoma City and a pissed off Westbrook, because that seems like that dude gets pissed off at everything.
I said all along the one team I didn't want to see them have to face before they face Golden State was OKC.
Yeah.
Because he you know, he's nasty, and Paul George, superstars go a long way in the playoffs.
Right, right.
Not all that team play.
You're absolutely right, man. So yeah. And real quick, I want to shout out to my brand new grandson, Eli.
Yes.
Yeah, I think he's listening, along with his mom, who was a Rockets power dancer, and his dad, who's a 6'7" Rockets fan now.
Tell everybody where to reach you.
Where to reach me.
Social media and
otherwise. I don't want to tell him. So you know what else? Hey, man, let's talk about, you can reach me at Lakewood Church. How about that? We'll meet there Sunday. No,
he'll be wearing his $1,000 Jordans.
Yeah, my church is the Tabernacle of Praise Family Worship Center. Give him a call over there, and they'll give you some bananas and a bike.
Billy, thanks for coming in, man.
Thank you. Hey, thank you all for everything, man. I appreciate it, man.
Thanks for being an acquaintance.
All right.
We got the Blitz coming up next. Have a great weekend,
everybody.
No, he's never
gonna let you
forget
it.
We'll talk to you Monday on The Usual Suspects.
And I didn't know if they sniffed their own farts or not.
ESPN 97.5.